None? Can I have a couple people help me with the communion? God gave us the Holy Communion for our healing. In fact, Jesus instituted during the Last Supper, and he said, take this as often as you will. Paul told us that the only reason that Christians are sickly and die early among you is because they do not discern the body of Christ. So Jesus wants us to take this often. But he wants us to take it right. So we release our faith in it and receive the blessings that God intended for us to receive. In the book of Acts, it talks about the church taking communion daily, going from house to house, breaking bread. And you know what happened? There's a lot of miracles in that church. There's a lot of things happening. Somehow, man and their religion got in there and tangled the whole thing up and made communion a frustrating thing for a lot of people, made it a confusing thing for a lot of people, and made it a religious tradition for a lot of people. It's not supposed to be that way. This is the most intimate part of our relationship with Christ that we have. We're actually taking him into us. We're taking of his body. But we have to discern his body. When we look at this bread, we see that perfect, sinless body of Christ that was beaten and bruised for us. We see that body that took stripes on his back for our healing. And we see that body that was pierced and shed blood. We also see that body, when it was on the cross, took the full wrath of God's fiery judgment. The judgment that was meant for us. He took the full brunt of the curse. He took every sickness. He took every shortcoming. He took every sin. He took everything for us. So we're taking of this broken body for our healing. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus is so perfectly pure because it had no sin in it whatsoever. And it's because it had no sin in it that blood never dies. It never dries up. It continually cleanses us from all sin. It's still doing what God sent it to do when he sent Jesus here. It's washing us. It's protecting us. It seals in the New Testament promises for us. And it's because of that blood that we have the boldness to enter into his throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace in times of need. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Open up your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. And we're going to have kind of an interesting study. Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. How many of you have been told to watch your mouth? Don't take the Lord's name in vain. Exodus, in fact, Exodus 20, verse 7, it's one of the Ten Commandments. It says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for God will not hold him guilty that taketh his name in vain. You have to understand that this is not about cussing. It's not. Now, you shouldn't run around cussing. That's not good. But this is not about cussing. I want to show you something very important, because we've all taken his name in vain. Every single one of us. Look over to Exodus chapter 3. Oops. Right to Genesis. Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. It says, I don't know if I want to start there. Let's start at 13. Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. That's his name. I am that I am. Now, when we talk about positive confessions and making the Word of God personal to us, say we decide that we find in the Bible where it says, by his stripes we were healed, and we walk around saying, I am healed. You just took the Lord's name and you used it in a positive context the way he told you to do that. How many of you have woke up in the morning and said, I am sick as a dog? You just took the Lord's name in vain, because you took the devil's description for you and you added God's name to it. See, this is how we get our mouth in control. This is how we get our confession in line with what God said. See, we want things to be different, right? We want to have a good life. We want things around us to be good. We want to have a successful business. We want to be healthy. We want to be wealthy. We want to be wise. We want all these things, right? It's going to start within you. You're going to find it out there. You're going to find it in here. See, a long time ago, I read that scripture where it said that the kingdom of God is within you. I thought, wow, that's cool. And I went and asked the pastor about that, and he said, no. That's not what it's talking about. No, that's exactly what it says. The kingdom of God is within you. You. I am. He's in there. He's in there. You know, the very one that created the heavens and the earth, he's inside of you. You know, people run around saying, I can't figure this out. I can't do this. I can't do that. Look inside. See, the Bible talks about this wells of living water coming up out of you. We can pray that up. We can pray wisdom up. You know, you can pray things up out of you that you didn't even know. God is in there. He knows the answer. We can pray that up. We can get the answer from within. We may have to spend some time getting quiet. and spend some time with God in the Bible and spend some time praying in tongues. Spend some time doing that. But we're going to talk about controlling our mouth. Look over to Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Everybody should have this three verses underlined. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Colored in with your favorite crayon, circled, highlighted. Verse 22. Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Literally, the literal translation of that is have the God kind of faith. The God kind of faith is that faith that speaks. It speaks things into existence. In the beginning, God said, let there be light. And guess what? Light is still there, and light is still going out there at the speed of light. And we haven't caught up to it, have we? But that's what God called things that aren't, as though they were. He spoke things into existence. That's what we do. Did you know that in the Bible it says you are a God? You are a little God. I know that drives religious people nuts, but just accept it. You've been made kings and priests. Jesus is the King of kings and Lord of lords. You're a little king, you're a little lord. You know, you've been placed with the same authority that Jesus has. So our job as kings and priests, number one, a king decrees something, doesn't he? You don't ever hear a king begging for anything, do you? A king says something, and that's the way it is. Now, you've also been made a priest. That means you lift up praises to God. So you decree something. This is the basic thing. You pray God's word. You pray something into the atmosphere. You pray the word of God. You're sowing seed. While you are waiting for your harvest to come in, you have to watch over your seed. That means you're going to have to watch your mouth. It's an interesting thing about the tongue. Is there's two rows of teeth we can clamp down to keep that thing fenced in, and two lips to keep it sealed in. So if we don't know what God says about our situation, don't say anything at all. Especially, don't say a bad confession. Go find out what God says about your situation and say that and only that. The days of people running around saying, I'm so broke, I can't pay attention. That has got to stop. I am sick and tired of being sick and tired. You better stop doing that or you're going to be sick and tired and broke. These old sayings that have been floating around for years and years and years are not for you. Your job is to get God's word in your heart and in your mouth, and that is your confession. You know, the Bible tells us to hold fast your profession. I mean, pay attention to your confession. Hold on to that confession. One of the popular things in the church world is to go to church and pray that you be healed and then run around talking about how sick you are. How does that work? It doesn't. It doesn't work. See, you can't be double-minded. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That's what we call schizophrenia. We have a lot of schizophrenic Christians running around. They can't get their confession lined up and stay lined up with the Word of God. They could if they'd work at it a little bit. But sometimes they get a little bit of glory out of being sick. I'm serious. There are people that get attention and they seek that attention. They live for the next diagnosis. And then they like to talk about all their diseases. But right here, Jesus is giving us the directions for our life. He said, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever," see, that's you. You are a whosoever. If you're born again, you are a whosoever. You've already qualified for everything Jesus is going to say right here. You are a whosoever. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, "Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea," and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Jesus, right there, spent a lot of time talking to us about what we say. You know, he only mentioned believe once. And it seems like we've spent 95% of our time talking about believing, and 5% of our time talking about what we say. See, what you say can and will have a positive effect on your life or a negative effect on your life. You are a seed sower. And the words that you speak out of your mouth are seeds. In fact, Jesus gave us that parable where he told us that the sower sows seed. The sower sows the word. You are a sower. You are sowing seed. You know, you can sow good wheat seeds, or you can sow weed seeds. Whatever kind of a crop you desire, that's going to be the seed that you need to sow. But don't be confused about this. God is not mocked. Do not go out there to your garden and plant jalapeno seeds expecting to get tomatoes. Don't run around with a negative confession expecting to have positive results. It don't work that way. We have to keep our tongue in line with the Word of God so that we can get the positive results that God intended for us to have. Look over to Proverbs chapter 13, verse 2. I know a lot of people get mad about it, especially religious people. They say, "That's just that name it and claim it and stuff." You know, when you wanted to get born again, you had to come up with a positive confession. Did you know that? You had to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. He just became part of the name it and claim it crowd that minute, whether you like to believe it or not. Proverbs 13, verse 2, says, a man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressors shall eat violence. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. He that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. See how very important the words of your mouth are. A man shall be satisfied with the fruit of his lips. If you're not getting positive results in your life, check your vocabulary. Check your vocabulary. When I first started learning about this, when I first started thinking, man, maybe I better do something about my tongue. So I started paying attention to that, what was going on. And I'd get out in the oil field and I'd get busy and I'd be moving around and running fast and going and going and going. The radio would be on. And I remember the most annoying song in the whole world. They were playing it a lot at that time, but for some reason they had this verse in there that said, if the devil danced in empty pockets, he'd have a ball on mine. And I'd find myself, I'd be going down the road, being in a hurry and singing songs, and all of a sudden I'd be singing that and I'd just stop. I thought, what? See, now pay attention. Take heed to what you're listening to. Jesus said that. Take heed to what you're listening to. Pay attention to what you're listening to. Because what you're listening to is what's going to come out of you. You know, one lady came to me one time and she said, my pastor gave me this list of things so we can get ready to pray. I said, because they need a miracle. And it talked about all this list of things and fasting and all this. There's a whole bunch of things that he demanded everybody do so that they could get in faith. And I said, you're already in the arena of doubt and unbelief the minute you take that first step. She said, what do you mean? I said, well, it's all about you and your performance. We're to call on the name of the Lord Jesus. It's about him. Didn't he say that whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do? Then let's put our faith in him, not our works. And we had several conversations, and she said, well, all my friends go to church there. And I said, if you're not hearing the word of faith, you're not going to operate in faith. I'm sorry. Because whatever you hear is going to come into here. You can't help it. If it comes in here, it's going to come into here. And guess what? It's going to come out of here. These are spiritual laws that we got to live by. If we're going to live by the law of faith, we're going to have to pay attention to what we're saying. You know, we take the word of God. We put it in here, so it comes in here, so it comes out of here. That's why God told Joshua to meditate on his word day and night, not so he could win a memorization contest. Because God knows that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we hear it, and we hear it, and we hear it, and we hear it. Here's something you got to know about your subconscious mind. Is your subconscious mind doesn't know right from wrong. It doesn't know up from down. It doesn't know left from right. The only thing your subconscious mind knows is what you teach it. And whatever you teach your subconscious mind is what's going to come out in the heat of battle. And if you get it in your heart, your subconscious is going to have it. Yeah. Whoso despises the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. Literally, yeah. There's a bad saying running around saying what you don't know won't hurt you. That's a lie straight from the pit of hell. You see, that's why it's so important for us to read the Bible for ourselves so that we know what the Bible says. There's nothing more dangerous than somebody walking around saying, well, my pastor says this. Well, if your pastor is reading out of the Bible to you, then that's okay. But see, that's not the same as the Bible said. And that's what we want. So whatever challenge we may have, it would be a really good thing for us to find two or three verses to stand up to that challenge with. You know, Jesus, the devil came to him and tempted him. And Jesus said, it is written. It is written. It is written. So it wasn't just something that he came up with. It was something that he got from the Father. He told the devil what the Father said about the situation. Said, it is written. That means that's the way it is. Let's look at Matthew chapter 12, verse 37. Matthew chapter 12, verse 37. And this is Jesus speaking here. It says, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. There's Jesus talking about the words of our mouth again. You know, when you got born again, you got justified. You literally got acquitted. You got justified when you got born again. You got made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The very minute you got born again. And it was by the words of your mouth. You had to say something, didn't you? You had to say something. Not only did you believe in your heart, but you confessed that Jesus is Lord. Our word carry a lot of weight. No matter who you are, your words carry a lot of weight. And what you say is very important. See, James described this tongue, you know, as a rudder that you can control ships with. So by it we bless and we curse. You know, people walk around saying, I don't ever cuss. Well, I didn't talk about cussing, I was talking about cursing. Did you know there's a difference? There is a difference. And it drives me nuts when people try to say it. They don't intentionally do it. They're not doing it out of the meanness of their heart. It's just something that they've been saying. You know, you sneeze, oh, you're catching a cold. Don't curse me like that. I'm not having that. I am healed by his stripes. And some of those old wives' tales, just sometimes I would just face them and just say, do exactly the opposite of what them wives' tales used to say. They said, don't go out there in the rain with that shoes on, you'll catch a cold. And I was walking around over here one day and I heard that go through my head. I said, I've had it. I took my boots off. I took my socks off. I walked out in the rain on the rocks. I said, I am not catching a cold because I'm outside with my shoes off. There's enough of that. Amen. Don't play in the road, Junior. You'll get ran over. Don't curse your kid like that. Say, hey, let's talk about this for a second. You know, there's cars going up and down the road. It's not good for you to play in the road. Stay out of the way. What would be so hard about that? Don't climb that tree, Junior. You're going to fall out and break your arm. The words of your mouth are very, very important. And see, it's not just your life. When you talk to somebody else, you speak into somebody else's life. And there's some people running around. You know, I know when I was a kid, it was rampant. Some of the teachers said some horrible things to me. About me, and I believed them, and I lived them. I lived their confessions over my life until I finally got the Word of God in me, and I found out what God said about me, and then I blew them out of the water. There's nothing that they said about me now has any effect. But see, when we get our mouth right, our heart will line up too. When we get our mouth lined up with the Word of God, our heart will line up with the Word of God. Every time God decided to do something really magnificent with somebody in the Bible, He changed their vocabulary. He'd start talking to them. In ways they couldn't, it took them a while to understand. Gideon was hiding, threshing his wheat. He was hiding. Angel showed up and said, basically called him a man of valor. Gideon looked at him and said, you're nuts. It took a while for Gideon to catch on. And then he picked up on this army. They put this army together. And this was funny. Gideon thought, man, you know, there's strength in numbers. Got a lot of guys. And then God started whittling them down. And one of the funny ones said, now we're going to take them to the water. And those that lap the water up like a dog, we're going to call them. The ones that pick up the water with their hands and stand up and drink, we'll keep those on the team. Can you imagine Gideon sitting there thinking, guys, pick up your game. We need as many as we can. And a bunch of them got levered down there lapping up water like a dog, and they got called. But God wanted them to know that they could stand strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. But He had to get control of their tongue. He had to get control of Abram's tongue. He changed his name to Abraham. And then the child of promise came. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17 says, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Literally, turn around. This word repent has gotten so confused in the church world because a lot of the church world will have you think you got to get on your knees and ask God to forgive you a whole bunch of stuff. Now, some of them actually demand that before a guy can get born again. They'll take him into a room and say, now confess all your sins. You can't find that in the Bible nowhere. You cannot find that in the Bible nowhere. And in fact, if that was required, you would have certainly seen that in God's account with Paul. Paul repented right there on the road to Damascus. He looked up and said, who are you, Lord? Oh, you're Lord. Repent means do a 180. You just turn around. You thought one way. Now you don't think that way anymore. You think a different way. You believe differently. Literally, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's right here, right now. Remember, faith is now. It's not sometime in the future. So when you're believing God for your healing, don't say, I will be healed. That's somewhere out there. That's out there in Never Never Land where you don't have any business going. The kingdom of heaven is at hand now. I am healed. Now. I am prospered now. This one really bugs people. I am rich now. You need a Bible verse for that? For I know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for my sake he became poor, that I might be made rich. He took my poverty on his pole. God has freely given me all things with Christ Jesus. See, it's now. That's how we take the promises of God and bring them from heaven to earth. The same way you got born again, you said, Jesus is Lord. You take those promises, you find those promises in the Bible, and you take that promise and say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're already in right standing. I am justified freely by His grace. All of my sins have been judged and washed away. Whatever kind of promise that you need in your life, remember, whenever there's something wrong, it's because there's something right that has already been established. See? All the wrong came from the curse. From the devil. And he wasn't first. God was first. The blessing was first. He gave Adam and Eve the blessing first. Then Adam usurped that blessing from, or Satan usurped that blessing from Adam and twisted it and made the curse. See, the blessing came first. So the answer was first. The answer was already here before the problem. See, the kingdom of God is at hand. Literally, God's reign, God's rule is near. It's accessible and available to those who believe it. If you believe it, you'll receive it. See, that little saying, I'll believe it when I see it, that ain't going to happen for you, honey. You're not going to see it. You're going to receive it when you believe it. You'll see it when you believe it. See, this is where everybody has to jump out of their own boat. See, Peter had to jump out of the boat. Everybody in that boat heard the word. Peter was the only one that jumped out. Thousands and thousands of Christians hear the word of faith every day. And a handful of them jump out of the boat and start walking. And a bunch of them sit there and point at them when they start sinking. See, I told you that faith stuff wasn't. You didn't know what you were doing. You shouldn't have went out there. But they call on the name of the Lord Jesus, and they get the job done. And then this is a really irritating one. That wasn't really you. That was all God. Well, no kidding. I know it was God. He did the job. He did it through me, but it was Him. Amen? I know it was Jesus. Rely on His grace. Take full advantage of His grace. Jump out there and do the things that you think look impossible and watch Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost show up and show off. The reason people don't see God do much is because they won't go out there and try much. Well, what if I fail? What's it like carrying the whole weight of the world on your shoulders? I mean, really, your job is a simple job. Your job is to sow the word. Your job is to ask whatsoever you will, and Jesus will do the doing. Remember, Jesus said, whatsoever you shall say, Jesus is the one that does the doing. We do the believing and the saying. If you really think that you have in and of yourself the power to heal anybody, you're nuts. It's within you, but it's the great I am inside of you. He's the healer. Did you know Jesus is the only faith healer? Jesus is the faith healer. Now, He uses us. Remember, we're the body of Christ. He uses us. We're His hands, His feet, His mouth. We're His body. We're out there doing His bidding. He does the doing. We do the asking, the praying. Look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 34. All these things spoke Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spoke He not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and His disciples came unto Him, saying, declare us the parable of the tares in the field. Jesus said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. There's that. Talking about sowing that seed again. He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. Jesus said, the sower sows the word. We're the sower. We sow words. If you're getting wheat, you're sowing good crops. If you're getting weeds and thorns, change your confession. Change the words of your mouth. You're going to get what you say. You know, there's people running around saying, I just can't get out of debt. They're not going to until they change what they say. There's people running around saying, I just can't get well. You're not going to until you change your confession. Let's look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 31. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and become a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Now, there's people running around saying, I just have a mustard seed of faith. That's not what he's talking about. They say, I just got a little bit of faith. No, you got the measure of faith. You have the measure of faith. But what he's talking about, you're going to take that measure of faith and you're going to plant it into the soil of your heart. And that is going to grow. And it's going to grow. And it's going to grow. And it's going to grow. But you have to sow it. And you have to watch over it. See, that's one of the things about praying. People are good about praying and they want to receive the harvest. But when the harvest doesn't come in, they wonder why. And it's because they weren't watching over their crop. See, they sowed the word and said, I prayed the promises of God. Yes. Being in here in an atmosphere of faith and you pray the word of faith and you get that seed planted into your problem, that's a great start. But when you get out there, you realize you're only in here for a couple hours a week. Well, the rest of the time you're out there, that means that's where you watch over your crop. That's where you watch over your little garden. I mean, you don't say anything bad over your crop. I mean, you keep your profession. You keep your confession straight with the Word of God. That's watching over your seed. That's watching over your prayers. Go to Romans chapter 14. Verse 17. We're almost there. Just hang tough for just a little bit. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now that's the kingdom of God. Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. When you understand righteousness, that you're in right standing with God, that's going to cause you to have peace in your heart. People that have no peace in their heart are people that think maybe they're not quite right with God. They don't understand exactly what happened on the cross. Somehow they think that it's about their obedience or their performance. It's not. It's about Jesus' obedience and performance. Now we believe on Him. Now look over to Luke chapter 17, verse 21. Jesus said, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. It's not over there. It's not out there. It's not up there. It's within you. Jesus said that Himself. The kingdom of God is within you. I don't care how many PhDs some theologians may have. If they say anything different, they're calling Jesus a liar. Does anybody want to go there? So the kingdom of God is within you. You know, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God, which is love, joy, peace in the Holy Ghost, and His righteousness, means we're in right standing with God because of what Jesus did. And all these things shall be added unto you. All means all. Whatever it is you need, and even good things that you want, shall be added unto you. But your confession is going to have to be now. It can't be, I will be healed. That's somewhere out there in Never Never Land. It is, I am. See, there's the Creator, the kingdom of God inside of you, saying, I am healed. I am prospered. I am healthy, wealthy, and wise. That's the words of your mouth. Calling things that aren't as though they are until they are. That's the words of your mouth bringing it from heaven to earth. The same way you got born again is the same way you're going to get anything else from heaven. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for everything that you do for us every day. Father, we thank you for blessing us. We thank you for taking care of us. We thank you, Father, for the word that you've written down for us to live by. Father, we thank you for Holy Spirit, who's always here to help us in our infirmities. And Father, we thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we have cake and coffee back here at fellowship.